Nice to have you all with us in Gitanagari. Probably most of you have been here. I can see in the audience some that may not have been here. For those that have not been here, I'll tell you a secret. Gitanagari is a magical place. For those of you that have been here, you already know. That's why you're here again. It's a magical place in that invariably devotees, so many devotees who come and take part, have a major transformation, some revelation or spiritual experience or contact a treasure that they've just not been in contact with before. So, not that you need to expect that to happen, but don't be surprised when such a thing happens. During these Memorial Weekend retreats, we've had the practice of taking one theme and developing that theme. And I like that approach. It means each of the presenters goes very deeply into one topic, because often we go quickly over some things and don't go so deeply necessarily. What to speak of, multiple presenters, and you'll get multiple perspectives on the same topic. But I am certain you'll find that there is overlap. There's resonating points that have inspired the hearts of different presenters. So I selected this theme over a year back, practically as soon as we finished the previous one. The previous one, does anyone remember what the previous one, the theme was? Loving relationships. So, Vaishnav relationships is the essence of our life in Krishna consciousness. And how does that begin? It begins with mercy, from some otherworldly mercy. Because in this world, many things pass for relationships, but they're not of the same nature as what we described last retreat. And we all are hankering for a true loving relationship. Naturally, it's our constitutional condition to amplify that last year's message. I selected this topic. The theme is increasing the flow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy. It's a descending flow of Lord Chaitanya's mercy, because along with Lord Chaitanya's descent comes his mercy. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita addresses him as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, Prabhu means master, and Mahaprabhu, the master of masters, the supreme among supremes. And he's Krishna himself. In the very mysterious manifestation of the devotee of Krishna himself, the supreme devotee of Krishna himself, who is Krishna himself. Krishna appearing as his own devotee. Those of you that are practiced at making offerings of your food first to Krishna, you know that we have these prayers to the spiritual master, prayers to Lord Chaitanya, and prayers to Krishna. So we can recite that prayer to Lord Chaitanya. Namo Mahabhadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Goratushe Namaha. So here's Srila Prabhupada's translation. O most munificent incarnation! Exclamation point. You are Krishna Himself, appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. And other places, Prabhupada has translated, what no other incarnation of the Lord has ever even offered before. You are distributing freely, and thus you are the most munificent. So, focus is going upon mercy, increasing the flow of mercy, but the personality who brings the flow and increases the flow is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, the most substantial of all of the biographies about Lord Chaitanya's life, written by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he's used several metaphors to describe Lord Chaitanya and his transcendental lila. One of those metaphors is the metaphor of a transcendental tree of bhakti. Here's the verse that describes it. It's one of the introductory verses to the whole of Chaitanya Charitamrita. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Himself is the tree of transcendental love of Krishna. Looks like a person, but he's a metaphorical tree. Himself, the transcendental love of Krishna. He's also the gardener of that tree. And he's also the bestower and the enjoyer of the fruits of that tree. So, we often have this, hear the metaphor of the creeper of devotion, bhakti lata, bija. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasadivai Bhakti Lata Bija. The seed of devotion is bestowed by the mercy of the combination of Krishna and the spiritual master. So Lord Chaitanya brought that tree, the entire tree, not just a creeper, the entire tree of bhakti, devotional service. Here's what Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes. Lord Chaitanya thought, my name is Vishvambhar, meaning one who maintains the entire universe. Its meaning will be actualized if I can fill the whole universe with love of Godhead. Vishva means the universe, and Vishvambhar is the maintainer of the whole universe. So, we might think of, commonly we think of, Paramatma or Shiradakshai Vishnu as the maintainer of the whole universe, because he's within every atom of the entire creation, within the heart of every living being. He is the upadrashta and anumanta, the overseer and the permitter of all things. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was named Vishvambhar. It's significant. There's no purport, but it's significant. He was given that name. There were four names that were given at the time of his birth. The name that his father gave him was Vishvambhar. His learned Jagannath Mishra gave that name. Vishvambhar, maintainer of the universe. I will fulfill the meaning of that name if I flood the entire world with love of God. That is, the maintenance of the real purpose of the universe, the real purpose of life, the goal of life, that for which the universe has been created, is to bring living entities once again back to their rightful position in the spiritual world. And this is possible by love of God. So my name will be fulfilled if I fill the world with love of God. Thinking in this way, he accepted the duty of a planter and began to grow a garden in Navadvip. Thus the Lord brought the desire tree of devotional service to this earth and became its gardener. He sowed the seed and sprinkled upon it the water of his will. All glories to Madhavendra Puri, the storehouse of all devotional service unto Krishna. He is a desire tree of devotional service, and it is him, in him, that the seed of devotional service first fructified. This seed of devotional service means love for Krishna on the platform of spontaneous devotion as is found in Braja. There was devotional service before Madhavendra Puri, but this particular feature of devotional service, Braja Prem, and following Madhavendra Puri, Ishwara Puri, and following Ishwara Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he sprinkled upon the tree of the bhakti the water of his will. He wanted love of God to spread throughout the world, throughout the universe. And so he descended for that purpose. Our retreat's meditation is expanding that mercy that Lord Chaitanya came to bring, and we'll be hearing many different features of how that can be accomplished. Lord Chaitanya chose to accomplish that by bringing with him his associates, the Panchatattva. Because we heard so many times Srila Prabhupada explaining, if you say, the king is coming, the king is coming, he's not going to walk down the road alone. He'll come with his whole entourage. And amongst the whole entourage of Lord Chaitanya's associates, there are these principal associates called the Panchatattva. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gauram Bhaktavrinda, and all the assembled bhaktas of Gaura, all the associates of Lord Chaitanya. But principal are these five. And who are these five? There's a whole chapter in Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila dedicated, a big, thick chapter dedicated to explaining these five. I'm just going to read very quickly a couple of verses. So we're paying our obeisances to and honoring and glorifying those personalities who brought mercy by Krishna's will. He manifested himself as Lord Chaitanya. With him he brought his associates to assist him in this mercy-giving mission. So we're offering our respects to them. These five tattvas incarnate with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and thus the Lord executes his Sankirtan movement with great pleasure. Spiritually, there are no differences between these five tattvas, for on the transcendental platform, everything is absolute. Yet, there are also varieties in the spiritual world, and in order to taste these spiritual varieties, one should distinguish between them. Let me offer my obeisances unto Lord Sri Krishna, who has manifested himself in five, starting at the center, as a devotee, and then to our left or to his right, incarnation of a devotee, expansion of a devotee, incarnation of a devotee, a pure devotee and devotional energy. Krishna, the reservoir of all pleasure, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, himself the Supreme Controller. No one is greater than or equal to Krishna, yet he appears as the son of Nanda Maharaj. Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the supreme enjoyer in the rasa dance. He is the leader of the damsels of Braja, and all others are simply his associates. So that we're not unclear about which Krishna we might be speaking about. The self-same Lord Krishna advented himself as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with all his eternal associates who are also equally glorified. They came to deliver love of God, and the means for achieving or awakening that love of God was the congregational chanting of the holy name. And so, beginning in Navadvip, this garden of the tree of bhakti began in the villages of Navadvip, and the simple, beautiful, devotional life of the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inundated love of God throughout the land. They were challenged by Chankazi. This is a painting indicating the march to Chankazi's home against the order of Chankazi to not perform congregational chanting. And by this Sankirtan, just as we read this verse by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, the same mood that was experienced by the associates of Krishna in this Goloka Vrindavan is experienced by the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Sankirtan. The ecstasy is the same. The medium of exchange looks different, but the spiritual mood carries one to the same position, just like our cover of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. As we know, this is the spiritual sky, and down here is, in a little corner, is this material cloud, the Mahatattva. And in the vastness of the spiritual sky, there is Goloka, shaped like a lotus. But if you look very carefully, right there is the Sankirtan party of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And it's not the artist's mistake. Because in Krishna Loka, there is a portion of Krishna Loka that's Dwaraka and Mathura and Vrindavan. But there is another quadrant called Svetadvip, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his associates are eternally performing Sankirtan. Listen to this. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in Sri Brahma Samhita that when the living entities who are followers of Lord Chaitanya in this cloud of the material energy down here and somehow by mercy of Lord Chaitanya become pure in their devotion, when they return to the spiritual realm, they attain two forms. Their eternal spiritual form in which they associate with Krishna in Krishna's pastimes in Goloka, And at the same time, a spiritual form where they associate with Lord Chaitanya and his lila of Sankirtan. No explanation of technology. But the spiritual mood, although the forms are different, the spiritual mood is the same mood. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to give that freely, not considering who's qualified, who's unqualified, who's a fit candidate, who's an unfit candidate. He freely bestowed this mercy upon all. By his own teachings, he explained the transcendental lilas of Krishna. By his own experience, he experienced and related to his associates the transcendental pastimes of Krishna, that in his deepest moods of trance and ecstasy of love of God, he was experiencing. And they were also, vicariously, through Lord Chaitanya's sublime association, they were experiencing. Sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was experiencing great moods of separation from Krishna. It's a nice painting of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gambhira. Wherefore, the remaining years of his transcendental presence on earth, the deepest states of love of God, never, ever, before or since, manifest in this world, were experienced by him and shown by him. Unprecedented, amazing states of transcendental love of God. And up to that state of pure love of God is what Lord Chaitanya wished everyone to receive. And his agents, his assistants in this, were all of his associates, but principally the Panchatattva. So very quickly, I'm going to go through this. These are photos of the Panchatattva in Mayapur. We briefly described Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Simultaneously, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was manifesting the Yuga Dharma, meaning the means of achieving spiritual perfection for this age through the chanting of the holy name. He came for that purpose. He came also to teach persons how to perform his instructions found in Bhagavad Gita, namely to surrender to Krishna. How is that done? He demonstrated by his life's example. He fulfilled the desire, intense, fervent desire of Advaita Acharya, pleading with the Lord to descend and deliver the people of this age of Kali. But internally he was also tasting the love of Srimati Radharani that Radharani has for Krishna, in the mood of a devotee of himself. He was tasting that love, he was experiencing the qualities of Krishna, he was experiencing the happiness of Srimati Radharani. Even he's the object of Radharani's love. So to do that, he accepted the mood of Radha and the luster of Radharani. And simultaneously, he was engaging one and all in the same experience, or according to their transcendental position, their experience of love for Krishna. And chief amongst his associates was his direct expansion, Lord Nityananda. They were two transcendental brothers. They were born of different mothers and fathers, but their love for one another was unprecedented, like the love of Balaram for Krishna and Krishna for Balaram, because they're the same two transcendental lords. And together they expanded the Sankirtan, the Yuga Dharma, engaging others and melting the hearts, carrying the hearts of others to this transcendental state of love of God. And Advaita Acharya in our Panchatattva, he's an incarnation of the Supreme Lord, Mahavishnu, who, his mood was worshipping Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was like the age of a sun. Jagannath Mishra and Advaita Acharya were comparable in age. So Lord Chaitanya, or Nimai Pandit, was like a sun. But Advaita Acharya didn't see him like his, the friend of his, or the son of his friend. He saw him as the personality of Godhead. And even in a very early stage of Mahaprabhu's pastimes, he was disclosing to the world his transcendental identity. Mahaprabhu didn't like that, because he wanted to conceal his identity and adopt the mood of his own devotee. But Advaita Acharya understood the Lord's glories, as well as that of Lord Nityananda. And he, in his own way, became one of the principal limbs of this tree of bhakti, the Chaitanya tree, and brought bhakti into the world and accepted many, many persons as disciples and followers and expanded the teachings and the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Gadadhar Pandit is an expansion of the internal potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, manifested as one of his dearmost associates. Gadadhar Pandit was a constant companion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadvip, and certainly also in Puri in his later pastimes. Completely, just as Radha is attached completely to Krishna, Gadadhar Pandit was completely attached to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the deepest kind of transcendental emotion one can imagine. And by Lord Chaitanya's order, he became very proficient in reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, so proficient that Mahaprabhu would go and hear Gadadhar Pandit reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And Gadadhar Pandit also accepted disciples and carried on the mission of Lord Chaitanya, not by traveling as Lord Nityananda did, but by staying in Puri and instructing others according to Lord Chaitanya's teachings and inspiring them to receive the mercy that Lord Chaitanya came to give. And Srivas Pandit also, by manifesting the mood of Narada Muni, he received Lord Chaitanya, although he was also elder, like Jagannath Mishra, the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Jagannath Mishra left this world, Srivas Pandit became like his second father, along with Chandrasekhar Acharya. They were like the father, the surrogate father of Nimai Pandit. But because his mood of devotion was that of a devotee of the Lord, in time he also came to worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And many, many, many wonderful leelas ensued between the two great personalities. So these features of the Panchatattva, they're worshipped together. This chapter from Chaitanya Charitamrita, chapter 7, where Lord Chaitanya is describing who the Panchatattva are, he describes the importance of chanting the Panchatattva mantra, because by chanting the Panchatattva mantra, one is freed from any offenses. Let me read briefly what Prabhupada writes. Well, I can't find it. I'll summarize it. That when we chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, One may make offense. So there are offenses to be avoided that are described in the scripture. But even a sincere person is invariably going to make some offense, and therefore one should worship first the Panchatattva. By worshiping the Panchatattva, one is released from those offenses. Prabhupada describes that makes his practice perfect. So we're focusing during this Memorial Day weekend on Lord Chaitanya and his associates, the Panchatattva, and their associates, the servants of Chaitanya, Gaura Bhakta Vrinda, and how all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have entered into this world to give the most wonderful thing, love for Krishna. And with that love for Krishna, our eternal position in eternal devotional service, I mean, besides, beyond no more birth and death, no more death and taxes. And all of the frailties that go with material existence, all the unwanted things. We'll be spending some time hearing about these unwanted things and the nature of conditioned life is we're attached to these unwanted things. We're not attached to the miseries that are accompanied with the unwanted things, but we're attached to the unwanted things. And thus we get the miseries. It's a problematic circumstance. And the illusory energy is very powerful. So powerful that although the living entity is superior by nature, para prakriti, the living entity is completely under the grip of this inferior energy and deluded and brought again and again and again, not just in the course of a day, not just in the course of this lifetime, but lifetime after lifetime, deluded into continuing to try to become the enjoyer of that which is only miserable. It's a very sad circumstance. And that's the material circumstance. So, something that I was appreciating in meditating on this topic and preparing is that we're so fortunate. We were moving along just as our prayer says, Om Agyana Timarandhasya Yananjana Salakaya. We were in the darkest of ignorance, not having a clue really what the problems of life are, what to speak of, how to solve them, but thinking that we know what the problems of life are and trying to solve them. Trying to become happy by increasing material enjoyment. And to have material enjoyment, you need material prosperity. And to get material prosperity, you have to work very hard to get something that is very fleeting and flickering. And in a moment it's gone, so you have to work hard to get more. Etc. You know the whole program. So hard, diligently applying ourselves to become enjoyers of stolen property, we've not stopped to think, wait a minute, it's stolen property. And when you steal, it causes a problem for the thief. Anyway, not having a clue what the whole program of material existence is. Recently, one devotee was sharing with me, I'll conceal the person, but in a very remote part of the world, I'll just say that. And he was going to a university to become a successful businessman. He is presently a successful businessman. But in the course of attending this university, his heart's desire was he wanted answers to some deep questions. And what he shared with me was he wasn't even clear how to articulate those deep questions. It was like, but it was, he was not satisfied. But he was going along with the program so he could become successful at maintaining himself, because that's what you're supposed to do. But he had a sense that there's much deeper meaning to life. So in this remote, very remote part of the world, there were two devotees. They were enrolled in some classes. And on the side, they were conducting some discourse. And he became interested. He heard about it, he went and attended, and he got a couple of books, and they finished their courses and went away. He read those books and became amazed that these books are answering my questions. They're articulating my questions and addressing my questions. And fortunately, those two devotees came back again to pay a visit to see the persons who they had met. And this individual then became a devotee. Fast forward in time. But I've often felt like that about myself, off in some remote corner somewhere, you know, going along with life, knowing there's something more, but not really knowing what that something more is or how to access it. Or I think we all have some similar experience. There's something more meaningful, but exactly what that is. So something, when that awakening of some desire, whatever the impetus is, awakening of some desire, Krishna sends some opportunity, if we're very fortunate. It's not a guarantee. If we're very fortunate, Bhagyavan Jeev. And that great fortune, however remote it may be, it's from Lord Chaitanya. In our lives, the associates of Lord Chaitanya, or the associates of Lord Chaitanya, or so many times removed associates of Lord Chaitanya. But the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a little ray of light, comes into this dark place. And as practicing devotees, we now have an answer. We now have a clear articulation of the question, and the answer to the question, and a means of living according to that answer. How fortunate. My experience is, it's not that the material energy stops being material energy. You know, the upheavals of the material energy continue in the world around us. But how that impacts upon the life of the devotee, whether it's persons proximate to us, persons remote from us, you know, the world situation, our immediate association, and all this stuff in between. The material energy doesn't stop being material energy, but we have an understanding of what's going on and what's the solution. And the empowerment, the means to address any situation. Any situation? Any situation. And stay in that position of feeling the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and some sense, some surety that by remaining in this relationship with Lord Chaitanya and his associates, the means to address this opportunity of service that's come our way, whatever that might be, is available. We just were observing Nrisimha Chaturdasi. And like Prahlad Maharaj, he described in a very graphic way what his position was before Narada Muni came into his life. He described his position as being in the bottom of a blind well that's filled with snakes. I mean, it's not a pleasant metaphor. We don't have those things, blind wells, here in America. But they exist, where once you fall in a well, what to speak of a blind well, you're finished. But somehow if you survive and you're at the bottom of a blind well and the place is filled with snakes, there's no way out except by mercy. You can't climb the wall. What are you going to do? You're finished. And however long you live, it's torture. Intolerable. If somehow some mercy comes into that situation of life, how fortunate. Not only get out of the blind well filled with a pit of snakes, but to address any circumstance of life with clarity, certainty, faith, and spiritual strength. How fortunate. And is it just like nice talk, but there's nothing in the show window? It's the real thing. One can directly experience it. Pratyaksha avagamam dharmyam susukam kartam avyayam. And those words are there in Bhagavad Gita, and gee, you can take a course in college and study Bhagavad Gita, or maybe in high school these days, study Bhagavad Gita. Is it something that's going to be understood or accessed by the students? How is it going to be accessed? If one becomes a recipient of the mercy of Guru and Krishna, then it becomes possible. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended for that reason. And we're going to be meditating upon and hearing about and churning the topics of how that mercy comes into our lives. So I wanted to put this at the front end of our weekend's experience together so that we can stay focused on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and his transcendental associates, who are givers, the initial givers of this mercy, and by their empowerment and by their munificence, Mahavadanyaya, their great, great, great compassion, that we can also receive the same and be somehow collectively instruments of expanding that mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is a very nice painting I like. This is Gadadhar Pandit, who kind of broke out of character here, and he's offering tambuli to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Nityananda, who's transcendentally happy assisting Lord Chaitanya in delivering the chanting of the holy name. Advaita Acharya, who's simply worshipping his master, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, appreciating his greatness and his glory and assisting in any way that he can. And Srivas Thakur, similarly. And following them, the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they're their gift of love of God, their qualities that they exhibited, the empowerment that was bestowed upon them. As you become familiar with all of those associates, it's just astounding. And then the service of the six Goswamis, all of whom were from very elevated aristocratic families, highly placed Brahmana families, came to live as mendicants in Vrindavan, living a very, very austere life, but wrapped in love for Krishna, writing books on the way of devotional service to achieve love for Krishna, training others in that way of life of devotion and love for Krishna, arranging for the distribution of the literature of those Goswamis was Jiva Goswami's task. And in this way, the method of expanding the flow of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we have the exemplary persons before us. And they went in different directions and spread love of God abundantly because they were carrying it. First comes receiving it, then receiving the order to distribute it, and then distributing it. So this is our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement in our ISKCON branch of the Chaitanya tree, particularly our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, and his great sacrifices and great efforts to bring Lord Chaitanya's teachings into our life. How fortunate. How fortunate. And as we awaken to that good fortune, Mahavandanyaya, and the distributor of that good fortune, we become better instruments for expanding that mercy. Oh. This weekend is a festival to celebrate and to become focused on that effort. Hare Krishna. Turn the light on. See if there's any discussion or questions. If not, then we can have kirtan. Yes? Who's our kirtan person? Get ready. Get ready. Get ready for kirtan. Yes?
The question, what should be our qualification to receive the mercy?
The primary qualification is eagerness. We can say lots of things that aren't essential qualifications. The candidate, there's a whole chapter in Nectar Devotion dedicated to this question. Candidate for devotional service. Candidate of an individual for devotional service. That you really want it. That you want to be picked up or to move from the position of conditioned material life. That's what the topic tomorrow is, by the way. Tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. Choosing to place spiritual reality above our conditioned life. Because teachings can be presented, or a helping hand can be presented. One who's in the bottom of the well can be offered a rope to come out of that condition. But, you know, if, unless they grab a hold of the rope and want to get out of that condition, they'll stay there. Who are you? What's this rope? How did I get here to begin with? Etc. I'm having a good time with the snakes down here. Not so bad. Throw me a sandwich and I'll be all right. So, eagerness for spiritual reality. Now, in a conditioned state, that eagerness is dim. And as one progresses spiritually, that eagerness becomes brighter. Eagerness increases. That's to be expected. That's a measure of progress in spiritual life. But initially, there's this inquisitiveness. Brahma jigyasa. Not just wishing to know theoretically, but wishing to be situated in truth. And placing truth above and search for truth. Bhaktisiddhanta wrote a whole book, Search for Truth or Search for Reality. Same idea. Inquisitive spirit. Not just negation of the miseries of material existence. Because that just leads to a shuffle. No shell game. Moving the misery from this shoulder to that shoulder. A trade-off of miseries. But a permanent solution. An actual solution. Inquisitive spirit. Yes? Someone have their hand up? Wants to ask a question? Guess not. Sorry. Okay. Yes, but the full effect isn't accessed. The full gift that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wishes to give is not experienced. The awakening of transcendental love for Krishna is not experienced. That's the full effect. But take the ajamila, go back to the first part. Take the ajamila lila. He wasn't chanting Narayan in order to neutralize the reactions of his past sins. So in that sense it was abhas chanting, unintentional chanting. In our case, if we're chanting the Panchatattva mantra, it's we want to be able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra without offense. So that clearing takes place. And then we chant the Hare Krishna mantra. And it assists, put it this way, it assists in our clearing process. The stage of wanting to chant, trying to chant, striving to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra without offense. It assists in that effort. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when we're chanting the Panchatattva Mantra, No, there's an individual who teaches, don't chant the Hare Krishna mantra, just chant the Panchatattva mantra. He's got a website. He's got following. Oh, I can carry on. I don't have to strive to become free from offenses. You just chant the Panchatattva mantra and he'll accept no offenses. Which is offensive. That mentality is offensive. So one should be striving to become free from offenses. And by getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy, that is assisted, made possible. Still our propensity is there. Is that all right? Do you have more on that, or you're okay? You're still holding the microphone, that's why I'm asking. Okay. Question over here.
How do you recognize and avoid these obstacles?
I can't speak slowly and clearly, please.
How to recognize and avoid the obstacles?
How to recognize and avoid obstacles?
Yeah, in my day-to-day sadhana that blocks receiving or taking of Buddhist mercy.
How to recognize and avoid the obstacles that are blocking, that are in your day-to-day sadhana and blocking your progress.
That blocks receiving or taking of
Read Prabhupada's books. Are you unclear what those are when you're doing your day-to-day sadhana? They can start with the 10 offenses. Work on that, because that's standard. And as you're working on those 10 offenses, other, perhaps, derivations of or subtler forms of those things will become clear. My answer is stated differently, but same thing, just stated differently. Take standard teachings and apply those standard teachings. It's not that there's something esoteric that hasn't been told to you yet. There are standard teachings. Take those standard teachings in a serious way. Apply them. And as you're applying them, you'll find where those, where your attachments are, where your strengths are, where your weaknesses are, where your mistakes are. Follow standard processes. Yes. The real question is how to overcome laziness.
Yes.
Well, associate with those that aren't lazy. Helps. Understand that there's a consequence to laziness. You know what that consequence is? Well, if you're lazy, you know what the consequence is. You suffer. You know, your clarity, your sharpness, things go down. And as things go down, the sufferings go up. You know, the external energy becomes more animated, has a tighter grip. And when that tighter grip is there, it becomes more difficult. It's more of a struggle. Unnecessarily, because of this laxity. And so when we have that condition, after some time we don't like it anymore, and then we start to make a greater effort. We start to make a greater effort that harassment of the material energy diminishes, and then we become complacent again. You with me? It's called sankalpa vikalpa. It's the mind. That's what the mind does. Accepting, rejecting. This complacency is the result of I want to be happy. That's the objective. And when I'm happy, I can take it easy. I take a little vacation from devotional service. But there's no vacation from devotional service because that's constitutional who I am. I'm a servant of Krishna. So when it requires coming to the spiritual platform, not just the mental acceptance of or the complacent laxity of the platform of devotional service. It's taking from the heart. Clearly, this is my identity. I'm Krishna's servant. In all circumstances of life, I'm Krishna's servant. Prabhupada has taught us that there are these planes of consciousness, mental, bodily, we'll start at the bottom, bodily, mental, intellectual, and spiritual. So accepting Krishna consciousness from the spiritual platform is required. Otherwise, this other is what we'll experience. Again, we want to be happy. So we apply ourselves to the means to become happy, and we become happy, and now where's the impetus anymore? I got what I was looking for. See you later, Krishna. So it's a blessing to be happy simply being engaged in Krishna service in any circumstance. In all circumstances. We need to come to that platform. Then the complacency factor isn't going to enter. That's the lower modes of nature, and the lower modes of nature influencing the mind in particular. So that, you know, I don't have to apply myself anymore. I can start thinking of how I can enjoy the panorama of my attainment. I have so much punya, that's just like, how can I enjoy here? Tendency is there. Because of selfishness. When my enjoyment is at the heart of why I've taken up devotional service, or relief of my unhappy condition. Now that I'm relieved of my unhappy condition and my happiness is there, what's the impetus? Okay? Okay. I think we're just going to have kirtan for a while. Thank you. Oh, one more question. Yeah. A few announcements and then kirtan. Great.